Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, New York 21, Republican in office since 2015. I guess I have to ask you, first of all, you're a Republican. I would consider you a moderate Republican in a sea of not-so-moderate candidates. I'm wondering how you think this whole thing is developing. The upshot says, you know, guys like Marco Rubio and others are going to be the candidate and not Trump, who keeps getting all of the headlines. What do you make of it?
Well, I consider myself a new generation Republican. I think that as you're seeing a generational shift in Congress, there's going to be an increasing willingness to work across the aisle. I think that's a characteristic of my generation, and I'm already finding that with some of the new colleagues on the Democratic side. We're trying to work together on education policy, for example, common sense security policy. But in terms of the race, I mean, look, I think the depth and the breadth of the Republican field is a strength. I think it shows the diversity of opinions. I think it shows the diversity of backgrounds, the fact that you have senators, governors, outsiders, you know, a doctor, CEOs running for the highest office. I think that debate is good. I certainly think that whoever is the nominee needs to show that he or she will be able to serve as commander-in-chief in very challenging times. And I think that needs some perspective of how government and public policymaking functions. So I'm not endorsing anyone at this point. I'm focused on doing my job on behalf of my constituents. I'm a new member. But I think the breadth and depth of the field is a strength. And you can see that in the viewership of the Republican primary debates, which is much, much more than what we're seeing in the Democratic primary debates. So I think people are yearning for a very in-depth discussion of the issues that we're facing as a country, and they're not finding that within the Democratic primary.
Do you think that the rhetoric, Elise Stefanik, is too hyped? I'm talking about the debate as we speak, that the abortion thing, which everybody's entitled to their own opinion, no two ways about it, but that the abortion thing has gotten to the point where people are saying it's the rhetoric from some of these leading Republican candidates that has caused a certain amount of chaos, meaning people believe it and go out and think it's okay to murder.
Well, I certainly, look, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, this is a heartfelt position. And I certainly represent constituents who have very deep beliefs on both sides of the issue. So I think we can agree to disagree, but I think the rhetoric is very important when you talk about these issues. I think they obviously need to be discussed in terms of what the public policy implications are. But certainly, you know, I think in the presidential field, there are some candidates who, over the long run, and they've already started this process, are somewhat disqualifying themselves with untruthful statements and not being willing to really talk about the substance of issues and just firing away rhetorical devices that don't necessarily have a basis in fact. And what I can do as a new member of Congress is make sure that I'm constantly communicating with my constituents. I'm listening to them just as much as I'm sharing what I'm doing in Congress. And I think that's the case not just for some of the more divisive issues, but for every issue.
So let me ask you a question. I know you're going to laugh at this, and I apologize for it in advance. But you're a woman. You are seen as the new light in the Congress in coming Republicanism. You're young. If I'm the Republicans and I'm looking for somebody to run for vice president, you know, I know that you've said no and everybody says no. I know that theoretically, I think you're too young. Are you too young to be vice president?
Alan, you got to stop asking this question. I love my job. I'm working hard as a freshman member of Congress. I still have a lot to learn. I'm constantly visiting manufacturers, small businesses, farms in my district to get their feedback, to do the best job I can representing them. But I think constitutionally, it's not even a possibility because as vice president, you have to be able to, you're one heartbeat away from the presidency, right. And you have to be 35. I just turned 31. So while you did make me laugh asking the question, I really am focused on doing my job to the best of my ability.
Well, if I were those people, if I were those Republicans, I would want you. And by the way, you're right. The premise is false because you're not old enough yet. But if, in fact, you were, I would want you to be the vice presidential candidate on my ticket, because it brings all those demographics, which the Republicans don't always have. But of course,
Alan, I appreciate that, but I'm trying to be an effective member of Congress, and I think that as a freshman, I've been able to do that and really make an impact for my constituents. On constituent services, we've been able to claim over $300,000 of veterans benefits. I've had a fix to the Affordable Care Act signed into law as part of the budget agreement over this past month. So I'm working hard, and I think, you know, I want to be as effective as I can in Congress.
You know, everybody says, no, I won't do it. I don't want to do it until they're asked. So then that becomes a different story. But in your case, you have a very good excuse, maybe next time or the time after that. So here's the next question. This terrible shooting in Colorado. We have about 3 minutes, but, you know, here's a guy who comes out and he says no more body parts. He's accepted some of this rhetoric that he's been hearing. Is it just that he's nuts, or is it that maybe things have gotten too hyped up?
I certainly think we have to deal with the mental health crisis we're having in this country, and there's a great bill that Tim Murphy has been working on for years. He is an expert in mental health, and this was his number one priority, and as I've gotten to know him and learned about his perspective on what we need to fix our broken mental health system, I'm hopeful that we see that signed into law. And particularly in rural communities where we don't have access to the same type of mental health care facilities as urban communities have. So I want to make sure that constituencies like mine are able to access the care in terms of these mental illnesses that they need and currently are not available to them. So I think you'll see action on that in Congress. I would imagine that would be very bipartisan. But look, this was a violent, violent act, and we need to make sure that we continue to investigate it, and that our law enforcement is able to get to the bottom of both the motive, but also how we can better address the mental illness that this person obviously has.
And do you tie it all? I'll try to get you into trouble. I know it won't work, but do you tie it into the availability of guns to those people who have mental illness?
I have been a supporter of background checks, and we need to make sure that the laws on the books are fully enforced. The district I represent is a district where Second Amendment rights is part of the cultural heritage.
Yep.
And I'll ask the question a different way, Alan. I mean, we had the prison break in our district, and some of the families who live in very rural parts of the Adirondacks were very glad that they had Second Amendment rights and were able to protect themselves. You had two very violent criminals escaping the prison. And, you know, I think it's important to keep that perspective in mind, because I know for my constituents, that's at the top of their minds over the past year.
Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, New York 21st District. She's only been in office since 2015, and we love talking to her. At least when we come back the next time, if it's okay with you, let's talk about your world travels.
Great.